Those who can do, those who cannot do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com. Welcome to yet another gaming show, the Video Gaming Netcast, brought to you by the Fancy Pants Gangsters, thefancypantsgangsters.com. Well done, sir.
I did not have your back.
You did not have my back?
No, I let you go alone into that song.
You let me just hang out there?
No, I let you hang it.
Frickin' jerk.
Mm-hmm. That's how I roll.
Yeah, that jerk is Ian.
How's it going?
Fine, now.
Yeah.
Now that you're actually participating.
I think your sleepiness is wearing off on me. My energy levels are very quickly depleted.
I think there's some sort of weird ancient burial ground situation going on with my house. Except it's not like raising people from the dead, it's just making people sleepy.
I think it's more so the fact that we had 80 degrees and now we're at 63, and that's kind of putting me back into hibernate
and
mode.
And the fact that it looks like it's like goddamn London outside right now.
That's not a bad thing, though.
Well, no, but...
I could go for a double-decker bus right now.
Sure. Yeah. Fish and chips.
Yeah. I could go for fish and chips in a soccer match, but
there's a fish and chip place less than a mile from here.
That's true, there is.
Nice.
Owned by a bunch of Scots, actually.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yep. Huh.
Do they play video games there?
No. Why would they play video games there?
Well, just trying to keep it in context.
Context is for the weak.
Yeah. Fair enough.
That other voice you heard is Mr. Mike Dineen.
Hello.
How's it going?
It's going all right.
And just three of us this week.
The Three Amigos.
That's right.
And if you haven't seen that movie, go watch it.
I haven't seen the movie in years.
Yeah.
I'd be done for that.
Perfect derailment statement.
Yeah, I know. I was just thinking about it. I don't know.
I'm just trying to avoid our topic at all costs.
Is that what you're trying to avoid?
I took a vow of silence on our first topic.
Our first topic. Well, I just want to kind of get it out of the way. I'm perfectly fine never talking about Mass Effect for a long time.
Okay. Never say never with Mass Effect.
I don't want to say never. I don't want to say never, but I finished it this week.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congrats.
Did you have to like speed run it just so you didn't have the ending spoiled for you?
No.
So you were able to take your sweet time.
Did you actually play all the side quests too? Or
I did.
Did you play a bunch of multiplayer?
I did.
Wow. Holy. What was your galaxy awareness to?
It was kind of funny because, so I go into the final, or what I believe is the final bit, and I'm like, okay, you know, we've got one kind of main mission. All of the missions up to that point have been about half hour, 45 minutes. So I'm like, okay, I can just blow through this. I'll finish it up. Everything will be cool. And by that point, I had about 6,000 for effective military strength, because I'd played a whole ton of multiplayer over the weekend.
Uh-huh.
And multiplayer is awesome.
Isn't there like a percentage, though, your galaxy preparedness or something like that?
No, the way it works is when you play multiplayer, it ups the galaxy at war percentage, and then that is the percentage of the military strength that you're building up points for in the single game.
Uh-huh.
So like you can build up like 6,000 or 8,000 points of military strength in the single player.
Uh-huh.
But base level, you only get credit for half of that because your Galaxy of War is 50%.
Mm-hmm.
As you play more multiplayer, it raises the percent. Therefore, you get a higher piece of your total strength. Gotcha. That's why it's effective.
Okay.
Anyway.
What was your percentage up to?
I think when I finally finished it, it was about 70.
Okay.
So you added 20.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I was sitting here, I still haven't finished it yet, but I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, my God, I'm going to have to play a fuckload of multiplayer before I get to the end.
No, you need...
Because I'm like, I got to get up to like 100%.
Here's the kind of strength... Well, there is an achievement for that, for getting like 100% or something like that.
And you didn't get it?
I did not, no.
Wow.
No, there's actually a handful of achievements I have no interest in getting at this point. Like I didn't get the maxed out level one. But one thing I do give them credit for, so they have a lot of achievements that are like kill 1,000 things or kill 100 things with melee or set this amount of people on fire. they count single and multiplayer for that.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm. So if you're like me, where you've pretty much run out of things to do in the single player, but you haven't gotten those achievements, you can boost that with the multiplayer.
Oh, cool.
So you can just play a bunch of multiplayer and build up your kill ratio and usage and combos and things like that. And
my favorite one of those is mail slot.
Yeah, I got that right away.
I'm still working on that one. I'm like one or two away.
There's an enemy that has a shield, like mm-hmm. a big like full yeah. body shield, but there's a slot in the middle where you can look through it, and if you kill him by shooting a bullet through that slot, that's how you get the mail slot.
You can essentially one-shot kill him with a sniper rifle from far away if you do that, or like what I always just use the shotgun. And every now and then I happen to put one through the mail slot.
There's a pistol that I end up using for most of the game called the Scorpion, which basically shoots sticky grenades. It doesn't actually shoot bullets.
Huh.
And that's a hell of a lot of fun because you can just kind of go ping, 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 ping and wait like 3 seconds and then bang, 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 bang. But the best is shooting a guy like in the crotch with that. So he's got this glowing grenade on his crotch and you're just like, you're so screwed. And then boom, he's dead. And it's
the worst
endlessly
would be
satisfying.
If they walked away from that.
Yeah, it's like, you know what? It's yours. Yeah, yeah. Just like, I'm not going to screw with that guy anymore. Took a grenade to the junk.
took an arrow to the knee.
Yes. So I did finish it. Anyway, so here's my story. So I'm like, okay, it's like 45 minutes. I can just pound through this. I'll be done. And the final mission's like 2.5 hours long.
So it's like midnight already. Like,
well, no,
it's like
I got
Lord
to
the
point,
Rings where you're just like, come on, end already.
Well, it wasn't even like that. It was just there was a lot more to it than I was expecting. Mm-hmm. And the problem was I ran out of time in the first bit, so I had to come back like on a second day. And like you'd mentioned last week, your multiplayer bonus goes down over time.
Yeah.
So it slowly degrades. So I had to make sure I checked with the number because you have to have at least, depending on what you did in the second game, either 4,000 or 5,000 points in your assets to get the best ending, quote unquote best ending.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there was enough time had passed where I was at like 5,070 points. So I'm like, okay, I got to quick fucking finish this because if I don't finish this today, I'm gonna have to play more multiplayer before I can finish this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, do we want to do the review first or do we want to do the stupid bullshit stories first?
Let's hear your review.
My
first.
Review first. So finishing the ending, we talked a little about this last week, and I had a couple people email us at Yags of Fancy Gangsters, and we've been trading emails back and forth about the endings, and it's always been awesome. Like everyone that's emailed me this week has been fantastic. So kudos to all of you guys.
Thank you for being cool.
Yeah,
and
no,
not being trolls.
Yeah, that's one thing I love about our audience. It seems that they all seem to be fairly reasonable. So that's been very appreciated. Some of the complaints that have been levied against the ending, I can see now that I've played through the ending and seen what is available. The argument that it kind of invalidates a lot of the other decisions that you made and some of the themes, I can see that. But the thing is, I think that can easily be that easily could have been done if they had just made the final conversation that you have like twice as long. Like if there's a little bit more of a debate, because one of the big arguments is basically like you're doing this thing and then during the final conversation, there's no real arguing. It's just you are told what the situation is and you just, here's what you got, deal with it.
Pick one of the three endings.
Exactly. And I think if you know what though?
I mean, consider the events that are going on in the game, that the world is about to be obliterated. You don't really have a lot of time. Make up your fucking mind.
I feel like
that's kind of what my perception of that is.
Is valid. Like the one thing that a lot of people have brought up, and what's interesting is, you know, we talked a lot about in the last couple of weeks that people are like nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed in the last probably few days, the overall tone has tempered. And even amongst the complainers, I mean, there's going to be those diehard fanatics that, like, you know, screw BioWare. Well,
I wonder if part of that has been like such the backlash from the media has been shut the fuck up to a lot of these.
That's entirely
these
possible. But amongst the fanatics, that just validates it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, you know, why are
but
you?
But I mean, there's you know, people who are like, oh, we're really upset about it. And now you basically have every game journalist telling you that
here's why you're wrong.
Yeah, here's why you're wrong.
Yeah,
so.
And you know, there's that, but I also think it's more the people that were really upset about it really early are the super diehards that have nothing better to do. Now that people like us, and this sounds really pompous, and I admit that, people like us that maybe take a little bit more of a mature view of it and have had time to think about it, they can still dislike it, but they can lay out their explanation a little better. So it just seems like the overall kind of fervor has died down a bit. I mean, there's still argument, and I think that's good, honestly, because I tend to agree with some of the points that are brought up. But the whole argument, how it seems like the whole, there's no art, like I said, there's no argument in the last conversation. I'm with them on that. I think, you know, because one of the main points that's brought up at the end is like basically like synthetics can't be trusted. You know, talking about the Reapers and all that stuff. But depending on how you did the story, you can offer several examples of, yes, they can be trusted, but you're never allowed in that final conversation to bring that up. And I think if they had fleshed out that final conversation, that would have diffused some of the arguments mm-hmm. against it. And but the counterpoint to that is, how would people have reacted if the final confrontation is a 20-minute conversation?
Well, you're right.
It becomes this huge... I mean, I think of like the end of the Matrix. You know, the end of the Matrix was just basically just two characters talking with each other. And there was a lot of people that had a problem with that just because it's boring. I mean, you don't want to do that.
Well, I think what I kept thinking about during your kind of review of the ending is the elegant and fabulous TV show 24, starring Kiefer Sutherland. And his famous line is, "Damn it, Chloe, there's not enough time." And you're like, the problem takes 5 seconds to say. And what you just said takes 5 seconds. Like, you could have given her the rundown of the problem.
Yeah.
But it seems like to build suspense and to build in that moment, it's always like, damn it, there's not enough time. We have to go ahead with a decision. What's your decision?
Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, go ahead.
And I think that kind of is supposed to probably, you know, as an outsider looking in, is supposed to build that air of authority maybe, or at least give somebody the idea that shit's blowing up really fast and you have half a second to make a decision.
Let me quick address that, and then I'll go to you, Mike. There isn't as much of that. A decision needs to be made now. There isn't that tension in that final scene.
Like, you'd have 10 minutes to pour a cup of coffee.
Exactly. Yeah, you could think about it a bit. No, Mike, what were you going to say?
Well, and not only that, it feels like the motif that was set up in 2 is that other than Shepard, nobody else has really thought about this rationally. I mean, it's like, it's Javik addresses. Why haven't you guys prepared for this? And if you look at it, like, Shepard had been warning everybody the Reapers are coming, and everybody's like, okay, whatever. I think going with that motif, I mean, it almost makes sense where it's just kind of a brash decision. Like, there's no real time to think about it, no real time to discuss it, because they've kind of set the whole game up as this. We've got to get this stuff done now. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have time to dink around, which is like, you know, which is good, because they've eliminated, you know, going to every little single planet and scanning it all the time and just crap like that, because there is this at least in, you know, the a theme of it is there's supposed to be an urgency for everything you do. Now, obviously, you know, you aren't timed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like an Arkham City where it's not necessarily timed, but they're trying to set up this idea
that shit's on, you gotta
do this now. So I guess in that respect, it seems to make sense that there's not a lot of time to be like, but in 2, I had a crew member named Legion, and he was cool, and you know, stuff like that.
I think if in terms of the ending, if there's any legitimate criticism that can be laid toward it, and I do honestly think that there is, amongst the rage, there is a nugget of legitimate criticism. Sure.
There usually is. Yeah. It's just the way it's...
It's just calm the fuck down.
Well, yeah, it's just the way it's the way it's iterated is usually the problem, where mm-hmm. people are just trolling with rage.
Yeah, if I'm going to give them any criticism, I think that the final conversation between Shepard and another person, that's all I'm to say about that. That other person, like, their arguments are not fleshed out at all. Like, it's just, and I don't want to say it was lazy. I don't want to say it was rushed. I mean, there isn't enough to go on to say one way or the other, but it seemed a little threadbare, and there just wasn't enough to kind of latch meaning toward, which is weird, because when it comes time to make that final decision of what to do, even though there wasn't that conversation of, this is exactly what's going to happen, this is the ramifications of decisions X, Y, and Z, I found myself thinking about that much more than probably there's maybe one other point in the game where I really sat and thought about what my character would do in that situation. And I think that is probably what the guys at the BioWare wanted to do. And that's going to be one of those tricky things with games like this, where if you want them to address, you know, complex themes and psychological ideas, you can't always, you have to leave some of that up to the player or some mm-hmm. of that up to the viewer. You know, I think of like a David Lynch movie, which this mm-hmm. is obviously, you know, not comparable at all, but there's so much that those movies leave up to the viewer to kind of figure out and think about on their own.
I think a better example of that, if you're going to go, you know, not David Lynch, but looking at Heavy Rain, you know, kind of the choices that you have going forth in that game and how the choices you make are very, you know, very much affect the mm-hmm. outcome of that game. And it's the same way where it's just like, it's kind of up to you to make these, some of these, you know, very split second decisions in the game to figure out, how do I want to approach this, or how am I going to deal with this? Because mm-hmm. this situation will affect things later on. And yeah, I mean, a lot of it's very, very brash and very just kind of, it's short.
It's interesting to me that, you know, there's all these people clamoring. It's like, we want better writing in games. We want better dialogue. We want better stories. But at the same time, they want everything kind of laid out for them. And to me, that's worse. Like, I would much rather have an ambiguous ending or ambiguous section that makes me think about it and analyze it than really well-written dialogue that lays out, that basically doesn't force me to think at all. I can just kind of absorb the good writing.
Do you wonder if this maybe is a new evolution of how Western games are written, and that we're still used to the very linear way of storytelling that a lot of, like, you know, the JRPGs back in the 90s would be, and we're still kind of used to our stories being like that, versus something that, you know, is almost made like a movie now. You know, like, I can think, for example, one of my favorite movies ever is Pulp Fiction. There's a lot of shit in that movie that it doesn't quite explain.
Well, yeah, and that's a perfect example, because, like, Pulp Fiction, that was a huge movie. That was a major blockbuster mm-hmm. movie. And, you know, I think of, like, some of the movies like M. Night Shyamalan. Like, you can mm-hmm. rip on him till the cows come
very
home.
Very early on in this discussion, I was thinking of Signs. How it was,
exactly.
It was probably one of the movies he made. But the ending really falls apart.
True.
But when you look at the movie, you don't look at just the ending. You look at the journey of getting to the ending.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the reason I brought up, it's funny that I brought up M. Night Shyamalan, because I wasn't thinking about it in terms of the good beginning, crap ending part of it. It's more the, I'm amazed a mainstream movie went this route with the story. And I'm with you, Mike, where it's mm-hmm. like, I think this is an important, you know, it's kind of funny that this was released right around the same time that Journey was released, mm-hmm. because both of them are amazing arguments for the idea of treating video games as a storytelling medium and as an artistic medium. I'm not going to go so far as to say video games are art, but these are good kind of bullet points of saying, you want to know what it's possible for them to do. These are two great examples doing completely mm-hmm. different things, but two great examples of what the games can do as evocative, maybe, you know, just a way of making people think beyond mm-hmm. how do I beat this?
I mean, because it's nice to have something where it's just not, here's point A to point B, the end. You know, and I'm also glad that they don't take the happily ever ending approach to it. I mean, everything in this game that I've gotten to so far, it's very dark. And so, I've enjoyed the hell out of that.
So going back to my thoughts on the movie Signs, all three games are out now. You have a bunch of DLC. How was the journey of getting to the ending? Because to me, that's almost more important. The ending is going to cost you, you know, 10, 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. But you're going to spend hours, hundreds of hours getting to that ending. How do you feel about that whole journey?
I think the journey was awesome, and I really think game-wise, like mechanically, I think Mass Effect 3 is the best of the series. I think they find that good mix of RPG and action, you know, that is exactly the kind of game I've wanted, you know, since the beginning. And it's funny because, you know, so much has been made about the ending, specifically that last like 10 minutes or so. And one of the big complaints is that we don't get a sense of what happens afterward. Like, there's no epilogue so much. You know, we don't find out what happened to all of the characters that survived.
But how many movies do you have that where that's the same case?
There's that too. But there's this whole, and this isn't a huge spoiler, but there's this, there's an extended sequence before you get to that final bit where it's basically you going through kind of, you know, a series of corridors where you meet up with everyone that you talk to. You meet up with every one of your cast member or your crew members. And there's another scene where you can talk to all of the other characters that you've had in the first two games. In fact, it's kind of funny. There's, you know, all of the characters that aren't in your crew, there's this little communications officer's like, who do you want to talk to? And it lets you kind of put a button on all of these stories. And it's hilarious because some of these guys are like in deep cover, you know, just because of the storyline, like because of things that happens, like these guys are in like serious hiding and you're like, I want to talk to so-and-so. He's like, oh, okay. Click, click, click. Here they are. It's like, wow, either their hiding is terrible or this guy's got like the best yellow pages in the universe. Yeah. But so to me, the call for essentially a curtain call, like, you know, finishing off all these stories and kind of seeing where that happens, that all happens before. That all happens like in the last 45 minutes before you get to that final bit. And yes, it doesn't say what happened to Liara after the ending, but you can tell where she's going. Like you have to put a little thought into it, mm-hmm. but you can tell where those stories are going. So I mean, as much as I would love something at the end, it's like, oh, Liara lived on to have 16 babies and all of this stuff.
With Garrus.
and all this, and that's, and that would be cool, but I don't think you're really missing anything with that.
No. I mean, because there's sometimes that's done in movies where it's almost like unnecessary, I guess. I mean, like in the Harry Potter books and movies, I mean, I guess the whole ending of that where it's like the epilogue, like, oh, look, they got married and everything. It's just kind of like, yeah.
Don't ruin boring. Harry Potter for me. I'm kidding.
I'm just looking at you like, what?
I haven't seen the last two movies or read the last two books.
Well, I can borrow them to you if you'd like.
I'm not missing much.
So there was a story this week.
BioWare!
More BioWare.
What's a BioWare?
Yes. So one of the doctors, Dr. Ray...
Tarakas?
Muzikia. Muzikia? I don't know how
to... Where do you unlock him?
Doctor of what?
He's one of the founders of BioWare.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, BioWare is founded by two doctors. That's why they just call them the doctors.
Oh, okay.
One's a Solarian.
Yes.
And one's a...
He put out a statement this week that said, quote, "The Mass Effect team, like other teams across BioWare label within EA, consists of passionate people who work hard for the love of creating experiences that excite and delight our fans. I'm honored to work with them because they have the courage and strength to respond to constructive feedback. To that end, executive producer Casey Hudson and the team are hard at work on a number of game content initiatives that will help answer the questions, providing more clarity for those seeking further closure on the journey. We'll hear more about this in April." So it sounds like, I mean, the headline is always, they're going to let you change the ending, or, you know, they're going to do a better ending. And I don't know if that's necessarily what he's saying there.
Yeah, if one of the concerns is there's no epilogue...
That's what it sounds like he's doing.
Yeah, they're gonna fill out. To me, it sounds like they're gonna provide more,
like the day after.
Yeah, or maybe more context to the ending, because you said the ending was missing some context too.
How will you do that if Shepard is allegedly dead?
We don't know.
That's the interesting question.
We don't know, and even if, you know, I how many movies are there where a different ending is shot?
Oh, yeah.
Or further endings are added on later. Just because that the story continues doesn't mean that this ending isn't the ending.
Maybe they'll Red Dead it. You'll play as Shepard's son.
That, you know, that's a perfect example. Like, you don't need... And I don't think this is a huge spoiler at this point, because the game's 2 years old. But, you know, once the James Marsden's... Not James Marsden.
James Marsden?
Yeah.
John Marsden.
John Marsden. James Marsden is Cyclops from X-Men. Once that story's done, they could have ended it,
mm-hmm.
and it would have been fine.
Oh God, okay. No! That was seriously one of the greatest endings
I know.
Of the game ever.
And if anything, all the stuff with his son afterwards just kind of diminished it.
No, it didn't.
No, it really made it even.
I love the last.
I mean, really, the last couple hours of that game.
Like, you're teaching your son how to hunt.
No, that I'm talking after he John dies. The
final mission.
Oh no, that was fine. Like, I'm
that
glad
was
it didn't
amazing.
End yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. Like, I'm not gonna say I wish that would have ended there, but if they had, I would have been okay with that.
Okay.
I wouldn't have needed to know what happens to his family afterwards. The fact that they added that's great, you know, and that further reinforced some other themes in that game. So if they do add an epilogue or something like that, then that's fine. What would be really entertaining is there is a theory, and I won't go into it right now because Mike's here. And I don't like
and
talking.
He's sensitive about theories.
He's sensitive. He's theory.
I just don't want to be sad.
He's theory averse. There is a particular theory. I'll just call it the indoctrination theory. But that doesn't reveal anything.
Yeah, no. That's what I was asking about before the show. Is that I had heard stuff about that. There is a theory that.
I'll let you guys look it up if you care. I'm not going to go into it.
Search indoctrination.
Yes, but
that's it.
But if they want to go down that route, that'll be hilarious. Because the shitty thing is Bioware's kind of in a damned if they do, damned if they don't situation right now. Because if they do tack on another ending that conforms to what the fans think or what the fans want, and it had always been the plan to do it this way. You know, let's say that they planned on this being, you know, this set of things being the truth, but never really thinking about going into it. It's like this, we've decided what we want this to be. We're only going to show 80% of it. We're going to leave the last 20% up to the imagination, but this is what we think should happen. If they had always planned to do that, but now that because of all of the uproar, they are forced to elucidate that and release that as DLC, they're screwed, because then they're just going to say, well, you just did this for the fans. It's like, and no one's going to believe them. That's like, oh, we planned to do this all along. You know? So, but if they don't do that, then they're going to be accused of not doing what the fans want.
I don't know. I mean, at the end of the day, at least in this game, you are not forced into any of this DLC. You know, like, I never played The Arrival, and I'm a little upset I didn't now, even though I heard it was horrible, but I feel like I'm missing a couple of gaps in the story between mm-hmm. 2 and 3 with that. But regardless, DLC in a game like this, there's no reason you have to get it. So if you do not want to play it, if you want this ending intact the way it is with no other explanation, then that is your prerogative.
Yeah.
And that's what I think people tend to forget. You know, if they do add this DLC, then that's fine. You know, and if people, you know, whether they charge people for it, I mean, that'll be a whole nother can of worms. You know, if mm-hmm. people be like, how dare you charge us $5 for something we demand?
Yeah, no, if they charge for anything, they're fucked.
Oh, yeah.
And if they do charge for it, whether they should or not, if they do, they should fire their entire PR department, because that is just such a bonehead move.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at this point, they have to release something for free.
Yeah, I said that online. I'm like, the only way to do this to appease to the majority of everyone is you're going to have to make an optional free DLC.
There's several things in this that strike me as BioWare getting shit for EA decisions. Like, at the very end of the game,
mm-hmm.
okay, after all the cutscenes and all of that stuff, you're treated to a nice little text box that says, you know, Shepard is now a legend among the stars.
A winner is you.
Well, kind of, yeah. Shepard is now a legend of the stars. Help add to that legend with continued play and further downloadable content. So it's like they added a little advertisement at the end.
You knew that, though.
Which is true. I mean, that's true, but it's entirely different to say after all of this ending, oh, by the way, there's more stuff for you to buy later.
Well,
it just seems a little crass.
I think that's more so, hey, you just beat the game. Now don't go trade it to GameStop because there's more stuff coming out.
I understand that, but it's more the, you know,
I don't know.
That is something that is good to do outside of the game. It's just one of those. It strikes me as a bit of a
misstep.
But
they did it in 2, though. You know, they did the same.
Did they flat out say there's more shit coming?
They said something like more content or whatever. If I remember right,
I know they had made public statements about that.
Right, but I'm pretty sure at the end of 2, they say something very similar.
Did they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One thing that is fascinating to me about this whole story, and part of this is related to the FTC complaints, because some jobber decided, oh, this is what the Federal Trade Commission needs to be dealing with, is quote-unquote false advertising.
That's actually an interesting way to get the claim in.
It's an interesting way to get the claim in, but there's two things that interest me about this. One, if the argument is the BioWare developers led you astray, welcome to fucking marketing. Okay. If this is what causes you guys to stop believing anything anybody says related to the games, good.
Then we are already screwed.
Yeah, it's like the case. It's like how many? I'm sure any of us could come up with a half a dozen games where we were told it was going to be one thing and it didn't work out. And simply marketing hype. The fact that that comes from a developer means nothing. You know, the fact that a developer says this is going to blow your mind. That is equal.
That's just taking pride in your work.
Well, yeah, and it's also it's fluff. Like, don't trust these people.
Yeah, I mean, my first thought was, if we're gonna file a Federal Trade Commission complaint against BioWare, how come like 80 people haven't filed one against Capcom yet? Because really, if anybody deserves to have any sort of shit thrown at them, that would be the company to go after. Not BioWare, because, oh, we didn't give you the ending that you wanted. It's the company.
The argument behind the FTC complaint was basically, like, we were told it was going to be this, and it is demonstrably not this.
When were we really told that it was going to... When were we told exactly what we were supposed to be getting? That's my problem.
There have been people crawling through comments in articles and things like that. And some of those are fairly damning, like the head producer, Casey Hudson, said in a Game Informer interview that basically, like, we wanted to avoid the whole choose ending X, Y, or Z. It's like, yeah, that's going to come back to bite you when you basically give them that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, there's more to it than that, but looked at on its face, that is that's pretty embarrassing after the fact.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, this is not going to go anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, like if we're going to damn any company, there's other ones that clearly deserve it before BioWare mm-hmm. does.
But the other thing that I like about this whole argument, now I'm actually kind of happy that this argument is happening, aside from like...
I've never seen you happy.
Well,
I don't think you're actually happy. I think you're just less angry.
I'm more amused.
Is it a heart attack you're feeling?
It probably is.
This whole argument is based on this... Okay, let me fuck...
You have to give mouth to mouth, by the way. If he does die of a heart attack.
This whole argument is indicative of why I love video games and thinking about video games, because video games, more than any other kind of thing, have this weird tension between games as an art object and games as a physical product. Where, you know, movies, if the movie is bad, that's not the fault. That's not a mechanical issue. That's an artistic critique. Video games... If something is bad, you can argue at it that it's made incorrectly. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where there's the view that a program is a product, and if it doesn't work, that means it is faulty.
I could see the argument for like the PS3 Skyrim issue is like, this is a faulty product because it is buggy, but an ending not being programmed correctly is a different argument.
Well, yeah, I mean, because then you're dealing with writing, you know.
Yeah,
versus,
I mean, the argument
know,
about the writing and things like that, is entirely an art argument.
See, but to me, that seems the same as the argument in a movie. If you're arguing about writing or voice acting or something like that, that to me seems the same kind of argument you would have with a bad movie, where it's just like, oh, the premise was great, but
The execution was
terrible. You know, the way it was written was bad, or such and such person couldn't act his way out of a wet paper bag, or something to that effect. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think of other things, you know, games where the mechanics being bad interfere with the story. Like, that's one of those weird kind of
Fallout
things.
Fallout New Vegas.
Well, yeah, New Vegas is like that. I mean, just Fallout in general. You know, there are parts of that. You know, I think Arkham City... You know, there's
what was buggy in Arkham City?
It wasn't so much that it was buggy, but it was just
I feel like the writing was bad in Arkham City.
You know,
that was my complaint.
But it's this weird tension, because sometimes you treat a game as a product, and sometimes you treat it as a work of art. And that's fascinating to me, because that just doesn't happen anywhere else. Like, no one bitches about, or very few people bitch about, the audio quality of a CD.
There is people who
there's always going to be that, but I think that the argument is more widespread.
Insert Metallica Saint Anger.
That was mixing.
Right, but I mean, that was audio quality. That came down to the audio quality.
So well, like, yeah, that depends on your argument. Now, if you're talking in the sense of audio, are you talking how it was mixed? Are you talking how the CD itself? I mean, just as a sense of medium?
I'm not saying the argument can't be made in other ones, yeah. But it's almost never made.
But I guess what I'm saying is, like, there's rage for video games, but so seldom does it get... even with Skyrim's buggy release, I don't think we saw the fervor that we're seeing for Mass Effect.
And that's what kills me, is that I don't know why it's this game that's getting it.
But same thing when you talk about music. For almost every album can be released without complaints about mixing or how it's recorded or anything like that. But going back to the example of Saint Anger, when that came out, I remember everyone that was into rock was complaining about how unlistenable the album was. And I think what it is you're going to have a big enough artist or a big enough product that comes out every once in a while that's going to captivate enough people to get that critical mass.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to happen in movies, it's going to happen in video games, and it's going to happen in music or comic books or books or anything.
That's what baffles me. I still can't figure out why Mass Effect 3 is the one that's getting it so bad when, like I said, there's countless other examples. You know, the clipping issue in Skyrim on the PS3. How buggy Fallout New Vegas was, how just all the heinous shit Capcom has pulled in Street Fighter X Tekken or Resident Evil 5 or stuff like that. I mean, there's countless games that should have been crucified.
I would say the difference is that as Evan pointed out, Mass Effect blends enough RPG and enough action elements that you get two huge fan bases. You get the kind of Call of Duty fan bases and you get the, you know, RPG fans. And what's happening is I think a lot of people have had just linear stories. So their expectations of how a story should be played out and how it should happen are set one way. And this game comes along and changes that expectation. And you have so many people that are invested in it now that it does hit that critical mass.
So really, it's just people not being able to deal with change.
That's part of it. I think it's also... There's many kind of bits of kindling for this particular bonfire. It's a very well-liked series overall. It's several iterations in the making. Like, I think the reason why Capcom doesn't get as much shit as they do is because they release so often, it just becomes kind of part of the background noise. When you release three games in a 5 to 6 year span, like, that makes the problem seem so much worse. And also, you know, I think of all the complaints about Skyrim on PS3.
Mm.
Like, these are known issues. You know, the PS3 has had issues with these big games before. Fallout's had a lot of problems on PS3.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of these huge world games. I remember Grand Theft Auto 5 or 4 had some issues on PS3 versus the Xbox.
Hmm.
And so all of these are kind of known. So... This it's a highly anticipated series. It's sci-fi whose fans are just
rabid
nutbar. Okay, you know, there's a lot of things in play here. Plus, I really think, and again, this is gonna be my controversial statement of the week. I said this on Twitter. I think a lot of the complaints about the story just have real issues with the idea of mythic qualities in sci-fi. Like you can handle the Deus Ex Machina and, you know, a wizard did it in fantasy, but for some reason, sci-fi, everything's got to be provable science by physics.
Yep.
And that's never been the case. You know, it's...
And yet I can think of countless other sci-fi series that have kind of done that same thing, where it's almost been like wizard type.
Well, again, I keep coming back to Battlestar Galactica, where, I mean, that the ending of that is basically... there is a segment of a wizard did it in that scene. Don't
goes,
plug your ears.
Wizard.
Yeah.
And then poof.
That's
Harry
right.
Potter shows up and just shit happens.
And people were really upset about that ending. Mm-hmm. You know, because of the non-scientifically based ending. And for some reason, sci-fi fans just cannot.
But
this is a new thing, because anybody that has read, like,
Star Wars.
Well, Star Wars is like the worst example of that. But, you know, anybody that's read like Asimov or you know, any of those classic sci-fi stuff, that's foolish biblical allegory and all of this shit. So it's like, I don't understand.
Yeah, I was just going back and thinking of the character of Q. in Star Trek The Next Generation. That's all he is. Yeah,
he's a god.
Yeah.
Okay. He's introduced in episode one.
Yeah. It's like, boom, right away. Yeah. Here is a man who just has magic out of his ass.
The one thing that I... When you said that the sci-fi fantasy, you know, fans are nut... What would you say?
Nut bar.
Which I think Mike ate on his way into the studio.
I think he did. He left the wrapper right there.
Yeah,
so thanks for that.
I think back to when we started the RPG
game. Make sure you bring
that
upstairs when you're done.
That Ev and I and some of the others have going. I know nothing about Warhammer or Rogue Trader. And everyone in your group has read, I believe, every single novel ever written on the subject. And you all are extremely steeped in the lore to the point where you can start spouting off random facts and people that have happened in this universe. And to the outsider, it's like overwhelming. So it's kind of like you start understanding why the fans are, as you say, not far.
That's one way to look at it. But I really am curious. I would love to sit down with one of the real complainers. Okay.
No, you don't.
No, I do. I legitimately.
First of all, make sure they shower.
This is something I've thought for many years on a couple different topics, but most recently, I want to sit down with one of like the hardcore, like Mass Effect owes me a new house kind of level of complainer. I just want to sit down and talk to him. Like, have you read classic sci-fi? You know, are you a Warhammer player? Because I really think like Warhammer, especially 40K, like if you're comfortable with that mythology, you should have no problem dealing with Mass Effect.
Well, half of Warhammer is magic.
It is. No, it literally is. So it's...
You know, though, here's the problem, Evan, is you're going to try to apply logic to a situation in which there isn't.
You should try to make this happen on the show.
I actually talked about it before. I know online.
I actually joked about on Twitter today that I actually want to do a mock trial.
It's like the Scopes trial.
I watched a documentary called "The Killing of a Fortune Cookie," which is about the history of the fortune cookie in the U.S.
Okay.
And in San Francisco, they have this, I forget what they call it, but it's basically like the Court of Historical Record, where they do mock trials about basically did something happen.
Oh my God, that would be awesome.
And they had a trial between whether this Chinese restaurant or this Japanese restaurant invented the fortune cookie. It's like, it's not binding and they just do it for fun.
Yeah.
But they present it like a real case and things like that. I would love to do that with the Mass Effect people. Like, bring in, like, the head of the retake Mass Effect movement, and then you bring in, like, the head, you know, maybe even one of the developers, and you just put it before a judge, and they lay out their case why.
Now I almost want to have this, like, Lewis Black's The Root of All. The Root of Evil.
The Root of All Evil. That was an awesome show. But
when the subject was right, that was an awesome show.
That's true.
A couple episodes are kind of like
it depends on who they got.
Yeah, who was doing it and what the what the subject matter.
I think
was.
We've talked about this enough for one show.
Fair enough.
BioWare.
Well, we have more BioWare talk
later. At the end of the day, I guess my thing is that we have to realize that, and I'm not going to slap a first world problems tag on this. What I am going to say is, people, this is entertainment.
Well,
at the end of the day, this is applicable to not just Mass Effect, but to just shit in general, really. It's entertainment. There's bigger things that we could be getting that upset about besides an ending. It isn't, you know, it isn't like, there's worse things that have happened in gaming, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
There will be worse things that happen in gaming.
We'll be talking about some of those in our new release section.
Yeah.
More war crimes coming up.
It's at the end of the day, you know, understand that you have the ability to play this, and really if there's for some reason that you're really that upset about it, there's other way more practical ways to handle your anger and harness it than, I guess, just going off the deep end.
Yes, I will agree with you to a degree. I mean, I think saying it's just entertainment, if that's used as an excuse to not talk about it...
Well, I'm not saying to not talk about it.
No, I know
I'm saying to get zealous to the point of ridiculousness about it.
And that we kind of agree. One more quick BioWare story before we get to new releases. The other hated BioWare game, Dragon Age 2.
Is there a liked BioWare game at this point?
Not right now. I think people still like Jade Empire. I'm not really sure.
Star Wars.
That was a fun game.
I've got that upstairs. Never played it, but it's...
Knights of the Old Republic?
You know, people are backlashing against the Old Republic now too. It's like,
no, I'm talking the old.
Well, I know yeah. that, but you know, I'm just saying they like bitching. I also think that's part of why the Mass Effect thing seems so overblown now, is because there's such an anti-BioWare vein going on, you know, with Star Wars and with EA in general. I'm sure EA, if BioWare was on their own on this and released this exact same game, it wouldn't be nearly as big, because there's a lot of EA haters getting involved too.
I want BioWare to be involved in Madden now.
Here's DLC pack. You can
Mass Effect Madden.
You can have this for free. If I can have, because how many people, this is where I betray how little I know about football. How many people can you have on the field at a time on a team?
11.
There's 11. Find me 11 Mass Effect characters where I can have my entire offensive line be members of my crew from the various games. I will buy Madden and that DLC.
I think at that point, you know, your whole offensive line is just Krogan.
You're looking at me like I know Mass Effect.
I think maybe you could have a Turian as your tight ends.
Solarians would suck.
I think Asari would probably be good wide receivers, because they just, you know, be able
they're quick.
Yeah, be able to go around like that. Yeah.
Maybe that's the way we get a Mutant League football, is Mass Effect football.
There you go.
I think that's the way to go. But anyway, Dragon Age, there was a DLC planned for, I think, this spring, called Exalted March, which
it should have came out in March.
It should have come out in March, but it's not coming out at all. They said they've canceled it because they're actively looking for feedback on the next DA title, and will be showing the game more before it develops. It sounds like they've decided they're just gonna cut Dragon Age off and move that team to the next Dragon Age.
It was
Age
just
game.
Funny because I was like, I thought that was dead.
I didn't realize they were planning an expansion.
That was
this.
The shock when I read that. I'm like, wait, what?
But, you know, and the sad thing is, for better or worse, I mean, BioWare's got a real issue on their hands, and it really depends. And they don't have a stellar track record, to be completely honest, no matter how justified. They don't have a stellar track record of dealing with angry fans. I mean,
these doctors are probably medical doctors, not psychologists, right?
Well, I think I'm not talking them. I'm talking like the whole thing we talked about last week or a couple weeks ago with Jennifer Hepler, where she, you know, she was bagging on the people that were hating on Dragon Age. And I mean, they don't have the greatest reputation of being terribly, what's the word I'm looking for here? Nice to patient with their detractors. So it'll be interesting how they handle this.
So, moving on to new releases.
Let's just move on here.
I'm done with BioWare. So speaking of being done with BioWare, first game on our list is an Xbox 360 PS3 title called Resident Evil Operation Raccoon City. I hear it has fantastic gameplay.
It's weird.
Is that a Sly Cooper game?
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
That would be awesome.
Sly Cooper versus zombies?
The first HD remake of Sly Cooper was on PlayStation Plus.
Oh, was?
Because I went to go look for Journey, which wasn't there, Sly Cooper was there.
Nice.
And
it wasn't Journey there.
It's there, but it wasn't the free game anymore.
It's not free.
Was Styx there?
Yes. Journey to the River Styx.
What? Never mind.
Was that a joke?
It was a joke.
Was that what that was?
But yeah, Sly Cooper is a great game. I
love Sly Cooper.
I miss playing it, so... Anyways, moving forward, Xbox 360 PS3 title Ninja Gaiden 3.
Which has just been getting just relentlessly trashed by game reviewers.
Oh, yeah,
too.
So was Raccoon City. Mm-hmm. My fantastic gameplay was more of a joke. Next, we have Kid Icarus Uprising, which comes with the Nintendo 3DS stand, so you can better hold have your 3DS held while you play the game.
Yet another game that has been getting trashed.
Actually, I've heard decent things about it.
Oh, I've heard a couple of people just not liking it at all, but I also haven't read all the reviews on it yet.
If you're a Silent Hill, the horror genre, there's a Silent Hill HD collection for PS3 and Xbox 360. For the PC gamers, we have Total War Shogun 2, Fall of the Samurai.
Coming out.
Finally, you've been impatient on this one.
Well, no, they've just been talking about it forever. I picked up Shogun 2 a while ago. I played it for about an hour, and I realized I'm really bad at it.
Yeah.
And it's not an easy game to get into.
No.
But yeah, the Fall of the Shogun that introduces the Portuguese.
Fall of the Samurai.
Fall of the Samurai, excuse me.
So Fall of the Samurai introduces the Portuguese.
Yes.
That would explain the cover art.
Yeah. And if you don't know your Japanese history, the Portuguese came to Japan in the 1850s and started introducing things like guns, which when your armor is made of wicker, doesn't really work well. So yeah, the samurai became kind of an endangered species after that. So this, and it's actually an interesting point in history because you have families deciding if they're going to, it's the classic traditionalist versus technologist kind of, you know, dynamic. So, I mean, I love those, that series. I'm really bad at it though, but yeah, they've been pimping this for months. So,
next on the list, I don't have a platform for this, but it's Wise, the Oath in Felagahana.
Bless you.
That is, I think that's PlayStation and Xbox.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's, the thing is pronounced Ys.
Ys?
Yeah, because it's Y-S.
Yeah.
It's a classic RPG series from the Genesis era, I think. Yep.
And then we have Yesterday. Simple title, Yesterday.
All right.
Yesterday is an original and dark thriller adventure game from Pendolo Studios. Armored Core 5 for Xbox 360 and PS3. Are you legitimately excited?
I love Armored Core. I played the shit out of the fourth one, which was the one that was released on PS2. So, I mean, that's how long it's been since been another Armored Core game. I think there was like a handheld version.
Yeah, probably, I think
in between then. But yeah, Armored Core, turn-based, grid-based mecha combat. Like, that just gets me all hot and bothered. So I'm excited for this. I know nothing about it. I haven't read any reviews for it, so it could be crap, but I'm excited for the concept at least.
Next up, we have the Kinect Rush, a Disney Pixar adventure. Looks like a Kinect family friendly title. Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning, the Legend of Dead Kel.
Yes, this is the first DLC pack.
Yep. And the one I'm legitimately, no joke, excited for is Angry Birds Space for PC, iPhone, and Mac.
You're fired.
It's a dollar. It's a dollar entertainment.
You're fired.
It is less than a 20 ounce of soda. And now the birds have gravity.
Wait, they had gravity before. You mean they are lacking gravity because they're in space?
I guess what I'm insinuating is they will get pulled into orbit.
Oh, interesting.
Yep. Warriors Orochai 3, Dynasty Warriors and Samurai Warriors series into a new story.
Yeah, the Warriors Orochi series. Those are the Dynasty Warriors series, and I wish Jeff was on because he just bought this. Not the Warriors Orochi, but the latest Dynasty Warriors. Those are just cotton candy games. Like, there's nothing to them. It's basically you wading into crowds of guys.
Just hack slash.
Next up, Waveform. After that, there's a DLC, it looks like, already for Resident Evil Operation Raccoon City called Nemesis Mode.
Okay.
And that's it for new releases.
So, not much.
Not a heck of a lot.
Well, who wants to follow in Mass Effect?
I mean, that is kind of the difficulty right now. Raccoon City, it's funny because it seems that a lot of people are interested in it, but it's just not, the critically, it's not doing well.
No.
I haven't looked into it at all. I think Ashley got it, so when she comes on in a week or two, we'll ask her about it. But there you go. New releases, yeah, not much, I guess, going on here. But, you know, what do you want from me, man?
We want you to make a game.
We do. We talked about this last week, and it's funny because this has definitely become quite the thing in gaming right now.
This better not be a Kickstarter story.
It is a Kickstarter story. I'm sorry.
What?
Well, no, we talked about this last week about highlighting a game on Kickstarter that we think is worth some possible support, some doing some interesting things. Because, I mean, we talked about this with Wasteland. We talked about this with Double Fine Adventures. They announced this week that they're going to be doing a Tex Murphy Kickstarter to bring back that series.
Why do I know that?
Yeah, explain to me. Why do I know that?
That was, you know, early 90s full motion video era PC series where you were like a Humphrey Bogart private detective kind of style, like a Sam Spade, but you were on Mars or on the moon.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I think the first one was called Under a Killing Moon.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so there's talk about bringing that. But that we'll talk about later because I don't think they're doing that till May. So, but the one I found this week, this is actually really cool. And we'll have links to this in the show notes.
I haven't thought about that game in years.
There you go. Well, you can think about it a little later. The game I want to talk about this week is called Tempest Chronicle, and it's an interesting idea. What they want to do is they want to do essentially a gaming series, and not a series like a franchise, a series like a TV show. The idea behind it is that they want to do a kind of classic 16-bit, you know, Super Nintendo, Chrono Trigger style RPG that is released, that new content is released for weekly. So it's basically the episodic model on a classic RPG. And they want to release it pretty aggressively, like I said, every week. They're still figuring out kind of all of the little kinks with it. I'll just read this. It says, as soon as we started working on this project, we realized it would take over a year of development to convey the full story and mechanics to properly delight our players. But we didn't want to wait that long. Damn it, we've waited long enough. Then we had an epiphany. Instead of making the full game then shipping it, we can instead create and distribute the game in weekly scheduled installments and release it instantly through Facebook to any computer in the world. By releasing our game in weekly game episodes, which is terrible, we'll be able to get this game to you in months rather than years. So it's basically kind of an extended beta, I guess it would be one way of putting it. So they're planning on a regular release schedule every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's kind of a cool idea right now. As we record this, they have a $200,000 goal, which is kind of, you know, aggressive, I guess. But they do have over a month to go. They've already got 38,000, so they're a little over 10%, but it would be,
that's about 20%.
Is it about, yeah, it's about 20%. Yeah. So I think this is a neat idea, and this is kind of why I want to do this, because this is something that this is one of those models that a lot of game companies have wanted to do and they just don't for some reason. So
how much is, so what is the minimum investment get me?
Looks like the minimum where you first get something is $10. And for that, you get exclusive access to the beta, which is several months before the general public, and of course, access to the general release. They will incorporate feedback from you to help make the game of our collective dreams. Also, we will get exclusive access to our weekly update videos to be released every Tuesday as well.
And I guess how much would the game cost to the non-investor?
It sounds like it'll be $10.
Okay, so $10 for essentially sounds like 50 episodes.
Yeah, they haven't really said like how long it's going to be. But what's interesting about this is one thing I thought about with the people complaining about the Star Wars and some of the MMO storylines is that it sounds like what they want is like an actual GM'd game. They want it so that it can spin it toward a specific end that reacts to them in a little bit way. And this could be close to that. I mean, it's not an MMO, obviously, but if they can kind of steer the story based on where people want to go, that in a much more agile way, that is worthy of note. And it goes all the way up to 10,000, of course. And you get basically at 10,000, you get to build your own game episode. So you get one all yourself.
The player sits on the couch for 2 hours.
Yes.
Game over.
Yes. For 5,000, you get your name, dialogue, and likeness included in the game as a special boss battle, which sounds awesome.
Nice.
So, I mean, it's kind of cool. I just think this is kind of a neat idea. So.
Apparently, very good.
Yes. So, of course, we'll throw links to this in the show notes.
We should try to do our own Kickstarter to raise 5,000 so we can just be like a four-headed boss battle in the game.
Can you raise a Kickstarter, or can you start a Kickstarter to raise money to contribute to another Kickstarter?
Someone started a Kickstarter to buy Kickstarter.
I don't know if that works.
Well, so it's like they've looked at the value of Kickstarter to be worth roughly $19 million, so they started a Kickstarter for $19 million to buy Kickstarter.
Yeah, I don't think Kickstarter works like that. I'm pretty sure that
it's like taking enough crap to the pawn shop to buy the pawn shop.
Yeah.
Try that.
No, that wouldn't work either.
Oh.
So, we were talking about New Vegas earlier.
We were.
Yeah. I think you would find this interesting, Michael.
There's still a news story about New Vegas?
Yeah, it was just revealed.
Yeah, I just bought it recently.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Again.
For the fourth time.
What's wrong with you?
No, second time. The only game I've ever bought in four times was Assassin's Creed 2, which I still have yet to finish.
Something wrong with you.
You should sell it so you can buy it again.
No, because I'm after this, I'm done, because I want to get into that series for the third one, because I'm really freaking intrigued by the idea of the third one.
So what's the New Vegas gossip?
So, well, it isn't gossip. It actually comes from the Obsidian, which is the developer of Fallout New Vegas. The creative director and co-owner, Chris Avellone, he was talking with a Twitter user about like the future of a new of another New Vegas and how much money they made because of this was on the same day as or right after they reported layoffs of it at Obsidian, where a whole big swath of people, and it's putting not only an unnamed future project for what everyone's thinking now is going to be the next Xbox, it also potentially puts the South Park RPG in danger because of these layoffs. So one of the Twitter people was asking Chris Avellone and basically said, didn't you guys make enough money off of New Vegas? Because New Vegas sold really well.
Mm-hmm.
What he explained to them is their contract with Bethesda, it was a straight payment. What they decided to do is, instead of doing royalties on the sales, they decided to go a straight payment with a bonus if the game had a Metacritic of 85 or higher. Metacritic on Fallout New Vegas was an 84.
So they didn't make their bonus.
So that 1 point kept them from making a bonus. So basically all they ever got from New Vegas was the initial payment. Everything after that, they get nothing.
I feel like that's on them for writing that contract, though.
Well, that's kind of what a lot of people are saying. It's like, that seems like an odd thing in contracts.
Unless you're certain you're going to nail that 85. Then the bonus has to be extra sweet.
You know, I'm surprised it was at 84 with all the crap that was in that game that people just relentlessly bashed on it for.
But is it the critical Metacritic score or the user Metacritic score?
Critical. It's the critic one. Yep. Yeah, the user score is 7.9 on that game.
Out of 100?
Yes, out of 100.
Wow.
Yeah, people really hated that game.
Wait, seriously?
No, it's not out of 100. No. God damn it.
I was like,
this is why I can't say stuff like that.
You're just too believable. You're too sincere sounding.
Yeah. You should work for BioWare.
You should. Well, this is not the first story where people have talked about bonuses being tied to Metacritic.
And it's just, yeah, that's a whole other issue I have.
Well, to some extent, it kind of makes sense because you want to incentivize your team to deliver a product that's going to make the customer happy.
I guess. And I've talked with these other people before, too, about Metacritic. And I guess I have, at least for myself, have never purchased a game based on a Metacritic score. I've never even bothered to look at Metacritic for anything about
But you
a game.
Also hate game scores, which a lot of people like.
True. I despise them, because what a game score does is it puts a numeric value on something without telling you why. And a lot of people will tend to just jump right on the score without knowing why somebody doesn't like a game. Like, the perfect example, there's a meme about Jim Sterling where he, you know, gives one of the Mario Karts a low score and then proceeds to give one of the Call of Duty games like an 8.5 or a 9. And people don't really, like, look into why he, you know, why he gave one game this score and another a different one.
Which is, yeah, a fine discussion we've had many other times. But yeah. I guess from my perspective, like, when it comes to deciding who gets bonuses and who doesn't, you have to have some kind of metric to determine the quality of your game.
But why, to me, it's one of those where it's like, there's so many possible factors in what goes into the score.
Right, like Rayman Origins was a huge, I would guess like 8.0 game or higher.
Yeah.
But did not sell well.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, from the artistic standpoint, they made a game that was well received. It just wasn't bought by audiences.
Yeah. And that would be kind of the flip side of what happened with New Vegas, where it sold really well, and it still did, you know, I think an 84 is
respectable.
Is, yeah, very, very, you know, very fine.
Anything over 70 should be playable.
Absolutely. But I worry about, and you are 100% right, like this is at least partially on Obsidian for, somebody.
Yeah, I'm sorry, my foot got caught.
Yeah, it's fine. We'll get through it. I mean, part of the blame lies with Obsidian for signing this contract. I mean, you can't really feel too bad about them, but it's just one of those where it's like, how many times have we ever heard bonuses being tied to Metacritic and all this? It seems so dangerous.
Well, at the end of the day, you have to tie. I mean, in a contract situation, you need the other party to have some kind of stake on it, right? Now, you could probably tie that maybe to sales. You know, if you get 10% of sales or you get 5% of the door, whatever you want to do. Or you can do Metacritic. Like, if you make a critically acclaimed game, whether it sells or not, you'll get paid more.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, probably to them, they're like, well, we know we're going to make a good team game. Like, they felt like their team could make a good game, a well-rated game. And then if it doesn't sell, they still get their bonus.
It just seems weird that it's like in kind of an all or nothing. Like, you know, like they might not be like, oh, well, we're almost there. So
you still get nothing.
Yeah, we'll give you half of nothing.
The complaint that I've seen related to this stuff is that this almost kind of stifles creativity. Because if mm-hmm. you do something really kind of out there that people aren't going to necessarily react to, but is a good thing to be part of the discussion or part of the market, then that all this does is incentivize people to get, and granted the sales argument is kind of similar with this. I realize that, mm-hmm. but it just, that's for some reason, the sales metric seems a little fairer.
Yeah. If your game sells, you make money. If it doesn't, you don't.
Yeah.
But I'd be willing to hope that between the contract negotiations, they had the option and they're like, listen, we know based on Fallout 3, we know we're going to make a critically acclaimed game. So let's go for that one. That way we're not tied to the sales.
I guess my wonder with this is or curiosity with it is twofold. Is that is the Metacritic score in part to do with the glitches, and were the glitches because they had to rush a product based on said contract that was signed?
Yeah. Like, yeah, I mean, that
you
that
get
is
straight
valid.
Up paid, but only if it comes out at this point. You know, so it's kind of like you just, you know, cutting your nose off to spite your face type almost mm-hmm. situation.
And no. If you don't think that doesn't happen in every corporate situation ever, like we're going to set up these stipulations for you and we're going to do everything we can to make sure you can't meet them.
Right.
So that we don't have to pay you.
Exactly. You know, so it was kind of this situation that was set up as a no win no matter what, but it looks good.
Yeah.
You know, and you think you can do it because you've got this error where it's like, well, Fallout 3 was amazing and we can duplicate that.
I think the real important piece of this story is the Obsidian CEO. His name, he sounds like a character from Kingdom of Amalur. His name is Fergus Urquhart.
Fergus Urquhart.
Or Skyrim.
Yeah, Urquhart. Urquhart.
Nice.
He is Dovahkiin.
Yeah, apparently. I like Fergus. That's a good strong name.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He will not get picked on in the playground because he will have a hammer.
Exactly.
I know what Evan's naming his firstborn.
A shillelagh.
Fergus Peterson.
No, it has to be an E name. It's the rules.
That's the rules.
It's family tradition.
Irgus then.
Yeah, I really don't think Irgus is gonna prevent him from getting beat up on the on the playgrounds.
My middle name is Kick My Ass.
Yes.
My dad sucks.
My middle name is not in the face. all right. Last story, and we'll talk about some games here. I hesitate to phrase it like this, but our government at work, once again.
Our government at work.
Do, 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 do. Yeah. So, some idiots in Congress. Congressman Joe Baca, which if you have any familiar with Japanese, that makes this even funnier, and Frank Wolf have introduced a bill.
Is Frank Wolf related to Dick Wolf?
I hope so. I hope all the wolves are related.
Like Wolf Blitzer.
And here's a big question for the masses. When Dick Wolf and the family have it, you know, when there's multiple members of the wolf family together. Do they refer to themselves as wolves, and do they spell it, or is it wolves?
And do they call themselves a pack?
Well, they should.
No, how do you pluralize the last name?
Yeah, how do you pluralize the last
name?
If you
put it on the side of your house or your mailbox.
The wolves.
Is it the wolves? Or, that's just one of those.
He just always goes by Dick Wolf. Dick Wolf and family. That's how you pluralize that.
Well, he probably changed that for the whole Penny Arcade thing, so... Now he probably goes by Richard.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, These two congressmen have introduced a bill on Monday that would require video games to carry a special warning label similar to the kind found on cigarettes.
They already have one. It's on the back that says may include partial nudity and violence. And
which is usually my criteria for buying a game. Yeah. If it says partial nudity, drug use, violence, extreme blood, then I'm like, give.
I will buy this.
They'd be like, it's Killer Instinct.
The warning would be exposure to violent video games has been linked to aggressive behavior. This bill is H.R. 4204, or Violence in Video Games Labeling Act, which, frankly, I don't like any bill that can't acronym to a word. You know, VIVGL.
Viva.
VIVGL.
Viva.
There's no A.
So, if...
Act.
Who makes Dead or Alive? Is that tech?
Dead or Alive is Namco, I think.
Is it Namco? No, is it Tecmo or something like that?
Tecmo doesn't exist
Temco
anymore.
Temco or... What is it?
Tecmo hasn't existed for...
Every listener screaming us, if I was... printing Dead or Alive, what is it, 6 or whatever it is, I would put that warning over the breasts of my cover art lady.
Yeah.
That's what I would do with that. I would stick it right there.
What I particularly like about this is this goes on every game, regardless of the actual rating. Because, you know,
Flower 2, this will cause you to be violent.
Those power lines are pretty violent.
I'll just read this
connect
quote.
Now with connectimals now with bears.
Yes, the quote here from Frank Wolf. It says, just as we warn smokers of the health consequences of tobacco, we should warn parents and children about the growing scientific evidence demonstrating a relationship between violent video games and violent behavior.
Just sigh. I mean, we've had this discussion.
Yeah, it's
just like, old people, please quit running our country.
Well, also don't quote science.
Or don't quote science that isn't accurate.
Yeah.
I mean, this is one of those things, that whole argument, the video game, it's like the Lewis Black joke about eggs, where he goes into the thing and he's like, well, then they told us eggs were good, so I ate lots of eggs. And then 5 years later, eggs were bad, so I stopped. Then 10 years later, they said they were good, so I ate double the eggs to make up for, you know.
But you know what you can't trust?
What?
Suntan lotion.
Exactly. That is made from...
Isn't that the rest of the bit or something like
that?
Yeah,
something like
that.
You can't trust that
shit.
You can't trust that shit. It can be made from zebra cum.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
A warning label, stick it on there. I don't care.
Yeah, I really don't give a shit. But honestly, it's like, it's kind of like the FARC threads of having solved all other problems.
Yeah. You know? I want to get like the next Boom Blocks and then just take that cover and then have the little warning on the bottom. That says this game will cause, you know,
this
kids
kid
to murder
will
people.
Cause you to murder other kids.
Or just like, you gotta get like, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego, right? Like, I mean, given you're trying to find a criminal, that might cause aggressive behavior.
Yeah. We need to bring that series back.
We do.
Yeah, we do.
Why is there not a Carmen Sandiego Facebook game? Just want to point that out.
Hey, PBS, if you're listening.
I think we need a Kickstarter, is what we do.
We do need to start a Kickstarter to bring back.
$200,000.
But do any of us have the know-how, even if we were to get
we could cobble something
for $200,000, we can hire someone,
like some college students. Like, hey, do you want to make $50,000? Because we don't have $200,000.
We don't have.
We have to quote unquote market
these
the
jacuzzis
game.
Won't fill themselves. So
with champagne.
That's right. So yeah, that's pretty much it for stories. It's kind of a lame week this week because
everything's like, fuck BioWare.
Yeah, I mean that's really all the discussion. I mean, it's the standard, you know. You know, this game has been announced and things like that. Who gives a shit?
If you could title the show a picture, it would be me shrugging, giving the I don't care face.
Yeah.
It's
like,
nah.
There is
stuff happened.
Yeah. There is something about the Brits getting a tax rebate, too. So.
Yeah, they did. There was some discussion that they had the new budget.
Mm-hmm.
The head of the Exchequer, which sounds so much cooler than Treasury Secretary, for Britain, announced that they want to do... tax refunds or rebates for game developers, because they feel that this is a good way to grow the tech sector in the UK, which I think is valid. And actually, I think a couple states do that here. I know Massachusetts has talked about doing that. I think Canada is working on something.
There's
like that too.
There's a lot of shops in Vancouver and Quebec.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think it's interesting. And I'd be curious. I'd love to actually sit down and read about some of this stuff, because it's an interesting idea. Because I wonder how much influence a video game developer has over like an economy. Like, I can understand some aspects in terms of, like, technological knowledge and brain drain and stuff like that. And I know a lot of programmers and a lot of artists would love to work on a game as opposed to working for, you know, software company X. So, I mean, there's that. But I wonder how much it actually adds to, like, revenues. And maybe that's not
they
why
might
they
just be trying to create jobs too.
I mean, there is that too.
An employed mass is a happy mass that doesn't riot. So
that is true. Speaking of happy masses, are you guys playing anything right now?
Besides Mass Effect.
Yeah, I've finished Mass Effect and I haven't touched.
I feel like we blew the load for what you guys have been playing this week.
I know.
I've been playing Draw Something on my iPhone.
Hate you. They just got bought, by the way. Did you hear about that?
Did Zynga actually buy it?
Yeah.
Zynga's actually confirmed that they've purchased them.
If you want to learn more about the game, check out today's Penny Arcade.
That was pretty good.
The answer is Cup, if you don't get distracted. I have two games going right now, and it's a lot of fun. I've been playing a lot of Hero Academy.
Just rub it in.
Yeah, I've been investing a lot of time with my iPhone for gaming this week. I've been living the crazy busy life, so the asynchronous, like, hey, this takes 30 seconds to do a play, has been really handy. I don't know why I don't feel like that's as prevalent on Android.
Because God hates me.
Yeah.
You picked the wrong company to side with. I feel like with my year and a half on Android, I did not encounter as many asynchronous games. I mean, I had Words with Friends, but that was
there just really isn't a lot of good games.
Now, Draw
on Android.
Something is on Android.
Is it on Android?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, because I've been playing with a girlfriend.
Oh, I might have to pick it up then.
Yeah, it's free. Like,
yeah, I was toying with that today too about getting Draw Something. So we can draw against each other.
Yay! Draw penises.
It's not how it works. I mean, you could, but you wouldn't get the credit then.
You wouldn't get credit.
So how it works is I think you start with like 500 coins, and basically you get a choice when you start to draw something of three things, and one's worth one coin, two coin, and three coin. And then from there, they're progressively harder to draw. And then if the person guesses it, you get the three coins. So it's not really like you're not supposed to obscure what you're drawing. Like you're supposed to be very like, this is what I'm drawing. And then you get credit.
Very good. Now we're all whipping our
phones
out.
Now we're all downloading it.
Draw something.
I'm not getting any.
Hey, but that was from OMG Pop, which I've actually played their online games quite a bit. So.
Oh really? Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, they have a pretty silly selection of online games, like a version of Battleships and stuff like that. It's kind of fun to kill time with.
Nice. Yes, according to Joystick, Zynga buys Draw Something developer for $200 million.
Pinky to the mouth and then Dr. Evil it.
Yeah, the sources are saying approximately $200 million between an outright cash payment of $180 million and $30 million or so in employee retention payments, which is bonuses, basically. So good on them.
Damn.
I mean,
it's crazy to think of Zynga as a powerhouse, but I mean,
Zynga has so much money lying around. It's sick.
I love the headlines. Like, what is Apple going to do with their cash? Because, you know, they're richer than the country of Poland. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, legitimately.
Well, now they're giving it out.
Yeah, yeah. They're giving the dividend that. So what they do with their money is actually a pretty important decision.
Death Clock is now the ninth biggest economy in the world.
I would prefer Death Clock over Apple.
That's true.
Just point that out. Even with the phones, I'd rather take the Death Clock phone over an iPhone.
Is that the one that just stabs you in the skull?
Yes. Yeah.
And it only calls other death phones.
And nighttime minutes start at 11 p.m.
That's right. I need to rewatch that show. Heather and I have been on this kick about rediscovering old Adult Swim shows. So, like, we're going to start over with Metalocalypse. We're going to start over with Venture Brothers.
Well, I can borrow you the first season of Moral Oral if you'd like to.
Not like that show.
I must be the only person I know who really loved that show.
I enjoyed the show. Like, it wasn't great, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, see, bought the first season the day it released.
Yeah, not so much for me.
What's an Adult Swim? I'm kidding.
How many shows in a row are we going to do a joke along those same lines?
Me?
I don't know.
Just one of us.
Oh, it's the most common joke in the world.
Yeah.
Is it?
It's
the most common. You have scientific proof of this?
Science.
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 So you're doing the iPhone. You're not doing anything.
I mean, I've still been trying to play MLB The Show 12, but I'm like, man, it is really, really freaking difficult this year. I mean, I basically went to the point of looking on forums, and basically everybody's like, yep, you're going to have to learn to be patient in this year's game. I'm like, great.
Mike's strongest trait.
Yes.
Great. Because I have
a treat it like a stealth game.
Because I have a league that I'm going to be playing in about 3 weeks. And I'm like,
So what do you mean by you have to be patient?
So it's extremely realistic to the point of where, like, you can't just hack at everything that comes by your way. Like, you have to literally have these snap, quick decisions of, as soon as the ball comes out of the pitcher's hand, you have to kind of already know, is this going to be anywhere near the strike zone? And if so, you have to kind of figure out where and kind of place your thing to be like, all right, it's going to be in this vicinity, swing. And you have to also kind of have, you know, figured out the timing of it too. Even in 11, it was just like you could get away with some pretty heinous swings at pitches and still you can hit out of it every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
This, it's just like, oh God, no, you're going to hit a blooper right back to the pitcher if you, or you're going to hit this ball that's basically just going to kind of dribble into the out or into the infield right to the third baseman who's going to easily throw you out at first. I literally had two games in a row where I didn't get a hit when I was first
playing.
Sounds
like me
it.
Playing.
Or I'm just like,
you wouldn't have gotten a catch either, though.
Yeah.
It just would have been Harlem Globetrotters.
the right fielder's sucking his thumb, sitting on his, you know, ass.
Yeah. I mean, I even played a game against a friend of mine where, let's see, the game ended up 1-0. He won because I threw one shit pitch that he hit for a home run. Other than that, I think I struck him out 14 times and he struck me out 11.
It's very realistic. I did see you get a trophy, though, for getting a home run on your first at bat.
Yeah, it's because he got it. In the game
nice.
We were playing.
Nice. Wow.
I was literally the first pitch I threw and it just cracked. And I'm like, well, all right.
So that's how this is going to go. All right.
And I was hoping, all right, great. This game's just going to be a home run fest. Nope. That was the excitement of it, that one at bat.
Wow.
The rest of the game is just like, my God, we're just striking each other out.
I think you should lodge a complaint with EA to get a better
ending
to that
EA,
game.
It's not EA, it's Sony.
Just
no joke. No joke. No joke.
Yeah, I already declared that joke is overused now.
Yeah. No, I
made that official the other night.
Or unless you report to the SEC, that's allowable.
There you go. Okay. And I still think you should complain to EA, even though it's a Sony game.
Just... I still want Mike to write a letter to Konami complaining that Contra, the first level, is broken.
That's right.
I think that'd be the greatest letter ever.
It would be. Write it in crayon.
No,
take it 100% serious.
You work in a law office. Send it on a letterhead.
Yeah.
Send it on legal letterhead.
I still think that'd be the greatest letter ever.
Please do that.
Please fix the bug in your game.
So I get fired for making a joke?
Oh, well, make up your own letterhead then.
All right.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
From
I can
the office
that.
Of the Fancy Pants Gangster.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, I'll give you some letterhead.
Of you know, from the law office.
That sounded really bad in retrospect.
Oh, shit.
Wow. I'm,
Lordy.
All right, then.
Other than that, I've just been...
Yes, let's move on.
I've actually been, for some weird reason, I decided that after they announced the new SimCity game, which, oh dear Lord, am I excited for, I decided to install in my new laptop SimCity 2003 and 3004. I don't know why I decided, I need to play all three of them simultaneously.
I need to burn 30 gigs of hard drive space.
And I can't fill it with porn.
The wife will find that.
That's right.
Yeah, I've just been kind of bouncing back and forth between the three games. And I have some City Societies I could pop into, but that's just was an abomination of a game, so.
Why not Sim Classic?
It was one of those things, it's kind of like going back and trying to go play the first Civilization, where it's just like, man, it just didn't age well, you know? I feel like 2000, at least, like, 3004 are similar enough, like those three, that, you know, 2000 doesn't seem like it was that long ago, or at least it has aged appropriately. The graphics might not be amazing, but, you know, who gives a rats? You're not playing that game for the graphics. But one, just, you go back to that now and you just try to play one and you're just like, God, this is just, it's like playing with like Legos.
I love playing with
but
Legos.
But like...
Yeah, what's wrong with Legos, jerk?
Are you talking about the Duplo Legos?
Yeah, like the Duplo Legos, where you're just like...
What's wrong with Duplos, jerk?
I'm not five anymore.
He's a big boy. He can play at the little.
Yeah, but you can make a Lego sword out of Duplos a lot easier than you can with Legos.
Yeah, but if you had the Legos, it'd be a way cooler looking sword.
It'd also be probably more structurally intact.
Exactly.
Yeah, but if you stab with it, it still hurts. Just saying.
Yeah, just don't dig the original. Plus, it's kind of hard to find the original, too.
Oh.
Fair legally, at least.
That. Yeah, legally. Unless I went to, like, Abandonware or something.
I don't think that's actually Abandonware anymore. I don't think... Does that site still exist? I thought that one...
Yeah,
right.
It does.
Does it?
It's where I got Sim Farm.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the other day.
Huh. Why Sim... Wait, what? Sim Farm?
Yeah.
Why?
Totally.
Why would you do that?
Because that game was fun. God, it was very difficult.
You have a sickness.
Why do I have a sickness?
That's just wrong. Well, now that I've finished Mass Effect, I might go back and play some more of the multiplayer, because I did enjoy that. And I actually got lucky in the sense that my opening pack, like of stuff that you got, I got the Quarian.
The Quarian shit?
No, the Quarian, the sniper one. Why can't I think of the Infiltrator? There we go.
Okay.
I got that class, which is one of the ones I wanted. So it's like, all right, sweet. So
yeah, I'm saving up for a Spectre pack.
Yeah,
right now.
That's a really fun series. Mm-hmm. Like, or that's a really fun multiplayer experience. I didn't expect myself to enjoy it as
like
much.
Like I said,
as I did.
It borrows a lot from Horde mode in Gears 3. If
it
you
does
play that. Like,
well, and apparently it was revealed that the multiplayer was left over from a proposed first person shooter.
Really?
Yeah, they were going to do Mass Effect. I forget what they called it, but it was like a Mass Effect first person shooter, and that got scrapped. But they took a lot of those ideas and turned it into a multiplayer.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, because like I said, there's a lot of the in the sense in where the Mass Effect multiplayer, where you're buying new stuff for your character. In Gears 3, it's you're doing upgrades to the map. Like, you can get these barriers, turrets, and stuff like that you upgrade with the monies you earn in the game.
Yeah, so now that I'm done with Mass Effect, though, for the most part, I think I might go back into do some PC stuff.
Now, you're not going to trade in Mass Effect 3, are you?
No, probably not.
Because you got the Collector's Edition, right?
Yeah, I got the Collector's Edition.
Are you putting your N7 patch on something?
No.
I am.
Because I'm not 12.
So what?
Guy wearing a Final Fantasy VII t-shirt.
Yeah.
So, it's a video game show. Shut up.
Do what I want.
But no, GOG, or goodoldgames.com, has had some really good sales lately. They put up both of the Krondor games, Betrayal at Krondor and Return to Krondor, which are fantastic RPGs. They put those up, and they put Phantasmagoria up on there for $5 each, so I might go digging around in there and doing some of that stuff.
Surprised
well.
You didn't want that shirt that I sent you that was from
the Grim Fandango
shirt. Yeah,
the
Grim Fandango shirt.
I have so many shirts, I can't close my drawers.
Fair enough.
So I need to do a shirt purge here in the next couple of weeks. We've got a Goodwill run happening in the next probably month or so. So
I'll
be purging that. But yeah, I've just got so many goddamn shirts. So, yeah. But, yeah, that's it. Now, and I also got, from Guzix, I got Dead Space 2. So, I might...
Yeah, I saw that you had, like, Dead Space 2, and then what was the other? Original Xbox game you had sitting over
there. Yeah, from the original Xbox, I had a Mech Commander... Not Mech Commander. Mech Assault. Mech Assault 2.
Mm-hmm. Are you trying to mod your Xbox?
No.
That was one of the games that had the software.
Oh, really? Yeah, I didn't know that. No.
I think it was Mech Assault 2.
I just had an itch to play a Mech Battletech game, so... That was why I picked that up. Anyway, I think we've done enough damage to our credibility for the
week.
We
had some?
We had, not anymore.
Okay, no, good. Fair enough.
We'll destroy it again next week.
Yes. One last thing about Mass Effect. This week, on The Voice Behind, I talk with Jennifer Hale, the voice of FemShep, where she talks. It's apparently very funny because she, right before we started recording, she had tweeted her first public statement about the Mass Effect ending, and she was just remarking on the responses she was getting. So a minor spoiler on the interview, she's talking about how like stuff she's got coming up. She's doing a voice for the new Diablo game, Diablo 3, which comes out in May, and she's like, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. And I'm like, I know a lot of people are looking forward to that. She's like, oh, is that an anticipated game? Yeah. It's just like, yeah, kind of.
It's been for many years.
Yeah, yeah, some people are waiting on Diablo, yes. So she sounded really excited about that. But that was just a really kind of funny moment. It's like, you have no idea what you're involved in, do you? But yeah, check that out. That'll
they
be
just hand me paychecks.
Yeah, that'll be released pretty much the same time as this episode. I had to release it a day late because we had some scheduling issues with her. But it's a very cool interview. So I'm really happy to have been a part of it.
Well, they're very good.
Yeah. So I do want to thank Michael Dineen.
Yes, thank you everyone again for listening, and you can always check us out on the Twitters at YAGSFPG. You can also check us out on Facebook, Fancy Pants Gangsters, just yet another gaming show. You can also look up Fancy Pants Gangsters as well to follow the main feed for the Facebook as well, learn about upcoming shows, events, all that good stuff right there on the porn machine. The computer.
Oh, okay. I was confused for a second.
He's like the Wii?
No, you can't get any porn on the Wii.
You could if you...
They don't have a browser, so...
Anyways.
Yeah, they do.
Do they?
Yeah.
Nah, I don't care. I have much more efficient ways to do it. Also, big thanks to Ian.
Thank you. If you would like to share Evan's problems of having too many shirts to be able to shut your door, check out shop.fancybanksgangsters.com and get some new threads.
That is true. Also, any local people, stay tuned to the website, fancybanksgangsters.com. We've got the network's fourth birthday, I guess, coming up here, April 1st. So
we're going to be pissed. We're just going to be angry and indignant and just awful. Just
why?
Just like a four-year-old.
Like a four-year-old, yeah. Yeah. Yes. We'll be angry.
I think in podcast years, like, you actually measure it like...
It's like dog years?
Yeah.
So we're...
Something like that.
We're 28.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So we're gonna be the same thing then.
Pretty much.
But drunk.
But drunk. Legally drunk.
Legally.
Yeah. You can get a 4-year-old drunk, just not
not toddler drunk.
I don't think we can afford getting toddler drunk. So thank you guys very much for listening, and we'll see you next week. But the best is shooting a guy like in the crotch.